Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast, for the 22nd episode of the second season of Arrow, for the episode Streets of Fire. I'm one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin.
I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
And this is the middle of the three-part season finale, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the chunky part where it was just all, it started with a lot of stuff and ended with
There was a fair amount of action, but then there was also a lot of story stuff. I think a lot of the plot was in this episode. So, like, the cure and, you know, it getting, like, them losing the cure, recovering the cure. Sebastian Blood's whole thing. This episode, much more than last week's episode, had a full arc to the episode itself.
And, like, something happened to a person, which is good.
But next week looks an awful lot like just a whole lot of fighting.
Yeah.
The great stuff. But yeah. I'm sure that there will be some great character moments and some great story. And in the preview for next week, we didn't see, which we'll talk about later, because if some people want to jump off before we talk about it so they don't get spoiled, they can do that. But there weren't any scenes from the island in the preview for next week.
No, I feel like there was, actually. I saw a couple.
I don't think so. We'll see when we get there, because I don't think that there were any scenes.
I specifically remember a part like this, and it's with like a boat in the back. Not like the boat, but in the.
Oh, maybe I was just reading that as like present day.
Maybe
similar things will be happening in both places.
We'll see.
Anyways, this week's episode. Back to this week's episode. It was good. There was a lot of stuff that I liked. But exactly what I said was going to happen right when the episode started happened. Which it didn't end. There was no ending to this episode.
No.
It just...
It just finished.
Stuff. Yeah, it just stopped.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't really expect anything different from a sort of a... I really feel like it was... It's a weird decision to do a three-part finale over the course of this long. Right? Like, I don't know. It's like an interesting structure to it. Because I was talking to you before we started about the idea that sometimes dramas are best binge watched, and I feel like this is one of those reasons in this end where we're sort of in the midst of this story.
Yeah.
And I feel like starting and stopping has made me grumpy. I don't know, I was here for the first little half of this episode and I feel like I was beaking at like everything that was happening because it started off sort of in this place where usually you get sort of warmed up into the episode, but that warm up happened a week ago, so I had lost all that, and then I just started I was picking at flaws in high action sequences that I probably would gloss over if I had gotten more into the episode to start with. So it's an interesting perspective on things. I don't really know how to feel. Hopefully I'll feel different about the episode by the end. It'll be good.
Well, Ben Kritzman commented on the Facebook group, "I have nothing other than blam blam to say." That's it. Just blam blam in quotes in all caps. Let's jump into our email. We've got a couple of emails here. First email from Steven Rysted. He says, "Loved this episode. Canary has to stay now. I can't wait for more."
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole email.
That's it.
But it's good. I echo those sentiments. After this week's episode, Sarah coming back, they can't get rid of her. They can't. Like, if they get rid of her... If she's not
broken.
Yeah, if she's not made a series regular for next season, I'm going to be really upset. Because she was essentially a series regular this season, although she's credited as a guest star. Mm-hmm. She's in every episode this season, I think.
Except for last week.
No, she was still in it because she's in the flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Right? She's in every single episode this season. I'm fairly certain. Well, that might not be true because she's not there right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. There was some stuff.
There might be like two episodes at the beginning of the season, but other than that, like let's say she's in 20 out of the 23.
Hmm.
Like Felicity is in 20 out of the 23, right? Like, because
there might be an episode where she wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Am I imagining a time where they parachuted onto the island? No, they did it at the beginning of the
premiere.
Season.
Yeah, that was the season.
Crazy.
You're thinking about it because of the callback the midpoint of this episode.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can get rid of her, and I don't think that they will, because I think what they just built up over the course of this episode.
Was superheroes next year.
Yeah,
They built today's episode made me think that next year is going to be about superheroes. Whereas this year on Arrow wasn't really about superheroes. It was about sort of this struggle to become the Arrow.
It was transforming the city from a city that looks at them as vigilantes to a city that looks at them as heroes.
Yeah, and I think that they are now heroes. Yeah. And the ability to do that next year is there. I think something that would be really fascinating... I don't know. It would just be... It's just a really interesting idea. Oh, Detective Lance is a detective again. Yay! That was one of my... Oh, maybe that's why. Someone tweeted at me before the episode. So I got 3 tweets and I started reading them and had to stop because I felt like they were completely spoilery before I got here. But one of them was... I think it was Doug that tweeted at me and was like, Amanda's gonna love this episode! And I feel as though it could be... There's 2 things and I don't know what it is. Because he said, Arrow, no spoilers, which is great, so I appreciate that. But at the same time, I'm like, I wonder if it was the Detective Lance thing, or if it was some of the Feligal stuff, or the no Elicity stuff. There's a lot of reasons why I have called to like this episode. But I feel it probably is because of the Detective Lance moment, because that was pretty epic, that he is now Detective Lance, and he's, like, my favorite, so...
Yes, it's good. It's awesome that he's got the badge again.
Yeah. So thank you, people that are sort of having conversations with us, and we're on the group a little bit. And so that's really good. It's voting well for maybe next week doing a little bit more sort of interactivity during the actual episode and during podcasting for the finale. Yeah. People still let us know.
We have one more email.
Yeah, okay.
Before we jump into the episode.
Okay, good.
This is an important one.
Okay.
It's subject line is ships.
Oh.
It's from Laura Weber. This episode, this is actually about last week's episode, but it applies to this week's episode as well.
Okay.
This episode we saw a few great ships. Feligal is like a new adorable baby kayak. Oliver and Laurel is a big iron ship full of holes and rusted, but there when you need it. I like them platonic, but I like that there is so much love there. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to read that just because last week we didn't really talk about it, but it did seem like they were pushing Oliver and Laurel together.
Oh, they were, yeah.
And then in this week's episode, like, none of that. Like
it,
maybe the very beginning.
The CWE moment with, like, I don't need you, the city needs you.
Sure.
Was classic relationship trope of the, like, girlfriend of the superhero. So, that was, I don't know.
Sure, yeah, but I think...
Anyways, but...
A little bit, but I didn't really see that as, like, a shippy moment.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't... Yeah. There wasn't really shippy moments. Yeah. There was... I audibly went to the... I think I said what? I went, no! Or, yeah. Like, when Felicity went in to hug Oliver. Because I'm just like, no!
And then I had to admonish you for it, because I was like, I think you are the only one still thinking. Other than people who want Felicity to happen. I think you're the only person who's like fighting that fight anymore because the producers have shown us that like that's not where they're going with those characters.
That's good. I'm glad.
So that it's when they were going in for that moment, it was like it's no different than any other time this season that they've done that.
Yeah.
Where it's like they are very close, but it's not that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no romance to the relationship anymore.
Yeah.
Because Felicity is going to end up with Diggle.
What?
And everybody can be happy. Yeah. And stop telling me that Feligal is not going to happen.
So creative.
Because it's already happening, okay?
It's already happening.
It's already happening. You can't stop Feligal.
Who was that? Dan Edmonds sent us a meme about that it was... It's the Mean Girls thing. Stop trying to make Feligal happen. It's not going to happen.
It's happening.
It's happening. It's already happened.
Because I ship it. I know that a lot of people listening to the podcast ship it because people hashtag Feligal.
Yeah.
So next week for the season finale, I think Feligal should be our hashtag.
Feligal.
So if you're watching
Arrow, it's a fighty episode.
It doesn't matter. It's not that Feligal is our, like, that's what we want to happen next episode. That's just Quiver's rallying cry for next episode.
Yay. Feligal.
Yeah.
Good.
So hashtag Feligal. F-E-L-I-G-G-L-E. Okay? Feligal. Okay? It's really important that everybody's on the same page with that. But I think we should make that happen, and I think we should see if we can get Feligal trending.
What? Feligal.
Yeah. And we should tweet it at Emily Bett-Ricard and David Ramsey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As much as possible. They're both on Twitter, right?
Yeah,
they're
both on Twitter. Yeah, yeah.
Emily, so we should tweet at the two of them as much as possible next Wednesday.
I wonder if there's... I'm sure that there's some sort of trending. I'm sure Arrow will definitely be trending next week.
Oh, yeah. Arrow will be trending for sure. And the CW will have their own hashtag.
Yeah.
So, like, we're not wanting to take away from that.
No.
What I want everybody listening to do is when you're tweeting, whatever their hashtag is, which they'll, like, it'll be, like, City on Fire or something like that. Whatever theirs is, right after it, fully.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Make it happen!
Because we're going to take that little the little baby kayak that is the Fuligle ship, and it's going to be a superstar destroyer.
It's good.
By the time we're done.
I didn't get...
It's going to be the biggest ship in the sky.
It's good. I like that was a very poetic email, actually, because when it first started, I was like, what do you mean kayak? I'm confused.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was,
I had to read it twice to really get it. And then when I did, I was like, oh, we're going to read this.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's pretty smart.
So, I like it. I like the description of Oliver and Laurel as a big iron ship full of holes and rusted, but there when you need it.
Cause
because it really is. Like, that.
Yeah.
It's never going to go away.
Yeah.
Because that's what's in the comics. So it's like looming overhead, right?
Yeah.
But it is kind of rusty and full of holes because it's not the most interesting relationship on the show.
You know what would be great? And I know because we talk about this idea of Laurel versus Sarah. What if we can have both? And the idea that maybe a superhero doesn't need to be with another superhero, right? That maybe he can have, like, Canary and that...
For a second there, I thought you were going, like, to a polygamous place with that. You're, like, being incredibly progressive in a very odd way.
Well, maybe he'll become a split personality, and the Oliver that is in that Arrow.
If this was Smallville, people would be talking about this the way that they talked about Chloe and Lois, which is like, well, maybe at some point Sarah will be dying, and so like they'll have to like transfer her consciousness into Laurel's body, and then Laurel will be like both Laurel and Sarah together. And then that will be the Black Canary that we know from the comics.
Interesting.
Because that's what people would say all the time about Lois and Chloe. They'd be like, well, maybe at some point Lois will die, and Chloe will take Lois's name to honor her cousin. Who does that? Who in the history of the world has ever done that? If there's a person who's like, my cousin died, I love my cousin so much, I'm going to change my name to my cousin's name. And then wasn't promptly institutionalized, okay?
Surely it's happened before. I don't know. I feel like it's not outside the realm of thing. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. But I do think that if somebody did that, it wasn't taken seriously. And it certainly wasn't proposed for a plot on a story.
Anyways, I don't know how they're going to do it with it, but I really loved all the stuff that came about with Canary today.
Yeah.
In today's episode, and Laurel was great in today's episode.
Yeah.
So they're both on an even playing field with me right now, which is nice.
Oh, they're not on an even playing field at all.
Okay. Well,
but Laurel did have a really good episode. I said that at one point during the episode. So
nobody else should die.
No, hopefully not.
Hopefully.
Let's jump right into the episode then. So I am hitting play. We're at the previously on.
With Blood. Blood had an interesting arc. This was a big arc.
I really liked it. I like how they semi-redeemed his character.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They didn't redeem his character because his character and the choices that he's made are a little bit beyond redemption at this point.
But the interesting thing is, like, characters that have full, like, dimensions to them, it makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
And a little bit more exciting and gives it more stakes when they actually die, which is interesting. You were saying, so it ends with him sort of shooting that arrow up, and then it comes straight back up on the exact same moment, basically.
It actually, like, this, there's a little bit here of him pushing away the rubble that I believe was in last week's episode.
Yeah, I feel like it was, yeah.
Because I do know that the moment we're going to see in a second of Ravager, of Isabel Rocha,
right, is the same stuff from last
attacking week. Attacking Diggle is from last week's episode, because I remember that line, right?
Yeah. So it would be interesting that it would play really well on a DVD box set as a full...
I think that that's what they'll do. I think on the Blu-ray you'll have the option to watch them as individual episodes or to play all four possibly together.
Yeah.
So this moment right here, and like that...
You killed me. Yeah.
Like that is from last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part of this is coming up.
Yeah. It's good. We were talking this, I really like her suit. I just, it's just...
The mask is a little off.
Yeah. What did Diggle pull out? What was it? Just a stick?
Those are, like, extending billy clubs. There's a specific name for it. I can't remember what they're called off the top of my head. But
so Laurel's trapped here now in this big pile of rubble. I don't know what he thought was going to happen, besides them getting stuck in a big pile of rubble. But, you know, they're dealing with it now. So, I feel like he would have had... And it also seems to me weird that... His arrow thing, what is it called? Bow.
His arrow thing. I thought you were like quivering, like it's the name of the show. No, yes, his bow and his quiver full of arrows.
Are not on him.
Yeah.
I feel like if you had just shot that, did you specifically throw it behind you because you
were getting crushed? I think they were shooting for the trailer on this one.
Oh, okay.
And it made for a really interesting promo last week.
Yeah,
and I
that's
think that's
true.
What they were doing.
That is.
So. Every so often, we get to forget about logic and just
have a moment.
Let Laurel shoot an arrow so that we can see her being a little bit of a superhero herself and hit towards a white canary future for her.
Ooh, interesting. So this is, I like it where she's asking where Felicity's smoke is. And
the effects on that shot were... flawless, like impeccable. Like, if you slowed that down, because the second time watching it, knowing that it's, I mean, you knew that it was coming before, anyways, because you saw the headlights and you heard the car coming and all that. That's probably why she takes the mask off for the rest of the episode, because she's like,
her senses.
I have no peripheral vision and I cannot hear anything with this thing on. But yeah, second time around, like, The van hitting Roshev there was perfect. Like, it looked real.
It was great. What? Why did she hate Felicity so much? What happened? Oh, because that little showdown in the...
I think just because of, like... Because Felicity's always kind of around.
Yeah,
and
I guess maybe.
To a person like Isabel Roshev, I think a person like Felicity who is adorable and sweet and charming.
Right. It's sort
but
of
still able to kick butt and do all of those other things. That has, like, the respect of someone like Oliver Queen.
Look at Detective Lance being awesome in this episode.
This is where he
I love him so much. People, get Paul Blackthorne to come on Quiver. I just want to talk to him about being
Make it
awesome.
Happen.
Look at these grenades and that comic moment. I think that's the moment of comedy.
The tilted dog head
and
look.
And the little, like, the big dude is like, look at this. This is a grenade. And all the chaos at the mayor's office. Lots of extras. Look at all the extras. So much happening.
Well, it is the 3-part season finale.
So. Yeah, I guess so. Fair enough. I wonder if they got to shoot it all as one. That'd be interesting. And so here's the first moment that you sort of see blood. Nope, not this one. The next one with the DA, where he actually is caring. But that moment, so he got asked to send in the guard or
the
what
National
is it? National Guard.
Yeah.
And he said no. So that idea that this is probably one of the reasons why Slade has him in as the mayor, right? Because he has the call whether or not to call in the National Guard. And so it's a reason that is useful for Wilson to not have to deal with the National Guard coming in. So, because I remember I kept wondering sort of why Blood was useful. And I think he becomes a face and the ability to sort of manipulate stuff in that way, which is nice. And then this DA...
She's there for no good reason.
Yeah. Somebody had to die in each episode. Lots of people.
That's true.
Lots of deaths.
That's true. So that it's interesting when she dies in a couple of scenes. With the hole that leaves
for next
Laurel.
Season.
Whether or not... Like, I think what they're doing is they're setting up to bring in a new DA.
Yeah.
And it'll be... It might be a recognizable face, whether it's a recognizable actor or a character from the DC comics.
Yeah, but
so it'll be one of those two things, if not both of them.
To interact with Laurel in a more specific
capacity. Because, like, as we've seen in this episode, and as we'll see in the next episode, I've got IMDb open right here, so Kevin Alejandro as Sebastian Blood.
Mm-hmm.
We have Manu Bennett as Slade Wilson, and oh my goodness, I keep blanking on her name. Summer Glau.
Right.
It's ridiculous that I keep forgetting her name. Because I just think of her as Isabel Roshev now. That's all I can think. As Isabel Roshev. And I believe that they'll all be gone by the end of this season.
So there's space to bring in new
people. So yeah, that means that we'll have a lot more space to have new cast members next season and new characters and all
and
that.
So Laurel shot that bow and arrow and blew things up and can now escape or gets, you know, Ollie comes in and saves her. So anyways, that was that moment from the preview about her, you know, doing a really good job with shooting an arrow for the first time in very life or death circumstances. So
to be fair, she only had to shoot it like 3 feet.
Yeah, and, fair enough, I guess.
It's not like she had to hit, like, she didn't have to thread a needle with it or anything. She just had to hit the big wall.
That's true. But with the explosives, which is cool.
Yeah.
Nice transition to the island here. So the idea that what's her face is gone? Sarah. And that the Amazo is moving. Is this relative, like, important for us that the Amazo is actually, like, going somewhere?
Well, a few episodes ago, feels like weeks now, it might have been even
months ago. Oh, he said that
ago.
He couldn't move it, right?
Yeah, the boat was damaged, but then they sent over Hendrik to fix it.
Okay.
That was the trade for Oliver, right?
Right.
So, clearly Hendrik got the ship running again, and so now Slade can escape the island and go make his Mirakur army, which is what they want to stop from happening,
I love back at the train station with Thea running around.
One of the best scenes in the episode, in my opinion.
The train station theme? Or is this Thea's
stuff? The reveal coming up is so good.
It is pretty good. This is a great look at all these extras, man. This is crazy. This is interesting location. I really like this space. It's the train station.
Yes, they're at the train station. Cool. So.
And Merlin, the king of I take off my mask as soon as I've shot somebody. So they're blowing
everybody's
up
gone.
Dude,
the room's empty.
The mask gets taken off, like a moment to just say things. It's just such a weird. You wouldn't actually do that. But
used to it because it's a convention of superhero television shows and movies. Because actors want their faces to be seen, not hoods.
Yeah, true.
Stephen Amell doesn't have to worry about it because he's in every episode and we know that's him. But you'll notice like in a lot of superhero movies, Captain America being the most recent one, this won't contain any spoilers, but just the next time anybody sees that movie, pay attention to the number of times that Chris Evans goes into a fight with the full helmet on, and as soon as he has the opportunity, he takes it off or it gets taken off of him. Because they're contractually obligated. Something like 80% of the time it has to be their full face.
Crazy. Interesting.
Iron Man gets around it the best by having the helmet cam. That's Jon Favreau being a genius.
Nice.
So he got to keep the helmet on for most of the movie, but you still get to see his face 80% of the time.
That's good. I like it. Yeah. Oh, and so we have the reveal of what happened at Star Labs. Anticlimactic. We wanted
Disappointing.
Flash. Disappointing. Just some random dude bringing the cure.
Not Barry.
Random dude.
Which, at this point now, there's no reason for Barry to come.
We won't see him, which is...
I was really hoping that they were lying to us, just so that it would be a surprise. Yeah. But
not. And so they've got to go now find this Mirakuru crew.
Yeah.
Mirakuru cure. That's a hard thing to say. Anyways, and Laurel going away. So this is that moment. Which is a nice shot of the city. I don't know what street this is up on. But I like it. They're using the city lights. I don't know if I've noticed a trope that it's called Streets on Fire, right? There's a lot of orange in the lights that they are actually in the backgrounds. Like, they've used color really beautifully in this episode, I think, actually. So I like it. Anyways, their phone call with the dude with the Mirakuru cure also being listened to by Slade, and now they're off to intercept that. So
we were just talking about Flash a second ago, and you want to hear the most disappointing thing ever?
Yeah.
CW upfronts aren't until May 15th, which is the day after the season finale airs.
Oh.
So when we record our next episode, we still won't know if The Flash got picked up for full series.
Dude.
We'll find out the next day if it's being picked up. Fast forward, sorry.
No, so we were talking over commercials.
We're just fast forwarding through the commercials now. But we won't know until the day after. So I mean, that's not necessarily true. They might decide to reveal that the day before or so. But
now we're back. You know what would be really smart of them is to have a mention of it at the end of the episode of Arrow.
That's the thing. That is that, like, it
the
would,
day before, the upfronts wouldn't be a big deal.
But on the other side of things, upfronts are really important. We've talked about it before because that's when they're going to sell advertising slots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's almost more important for them the next day to reveal it after the huge season finale of Arrow that gets record-breaking ratings, right?
Right.
So I they could probably do both. They can they can possibly do both, but I guess if they already know that they're going to announce it the next day, they might as well just let us know when we're watching Arrow.
So
Oliver's gonna leave the sub. We're in the flashback time right now. On the island, and he's gonna leave the sub to go rescue Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not back in an hour, then
Anatoly
is supposed to blow up the ship and go home. To which he says he'd rather go to the Bahamas.
It was a great line. Anatoly and Felicity. Oh man,
they get the best lines. They do get the best lines in the whole series.
What would be what I think is interesting here is the idea that it's either leaving off so that we don't see Anatoly again, or that we will definitely, and he's going to learn Russian from Anatoly. Either of those I would be okay with, right?
Oh, Anatoly's going to come back at some point, but I think what they're waiting for is a reason to bring Anatoly to the city.
Yeah.
Right? Because what they'll do is, when he's super important in Oliver's flashbacks, he'll also be super important.
Well, the thing, but they've already done that.
They did it for an episode, but I'm just saying, like
him into
the whole Russian mob thing, cool. I think they'll do at some point.
They would be, that's like one of the next things, I think, where they go off the island, which would be interesting. There'll be a whole arc with that. So this is great. We have Officer Lance in his last scene of the series. So, and trying to convince everybody about so he said chief's dead. Does that mean that the police chief just died?
I guess
so. Is that
so.
The thing? Okay. So I missed that the first time around.
I missed that as well, because what that means is more than likely, I can't remember if this guy's a sergeant or lieutenant, and I don't know which one of those is
lieutenant,
the higher
just
rank.
Lieutenant. Yeah.
So that means that possibly lieutenant here is going to end up as the chief.
Yeah, which would be interesting.
Next season.
Yeah.
Which is interesting with the way that this goes, because right here he says, make the call. So this is our first time that not just Detective Lance, but the police are working with the Arrow in order to fight crime. So
I'm like, not the detective!
That's a very big moment for this series.
And it shapes the whole tone of next season. Yeah. It's just so fascinating how it's shaping exactly what next season is going to be, which is absolutely fabulous, and about how things are going to change and who's going to be important and why. So I really like it. And here, Sarah has now come to save Laurel. And instead of them shutting that gate behind them, they just left it open. I guess that's fine. but anyways, this moment, sisterly moment, where Laurel, I think this is her first acknowledgement of her sister being the canary. As a nice, I don't know, she just felt the need to let her sister know that she cared.
Well, I think she was just relieved to see her sister, because after she took off, and then Laurel figured it all out.
Right. Not being able to actually say anything. So, this last scene, I guess, with the DA as well. So they were watching stuff on the screen, and here's where Blood really starts to recognize that things are out of his control. Where up to this point, he feel he had been thinking he had some semblance of control, and just tries to talk him down, and you see how much control he actually has, thinking that he has power as the mayor there, and using that, and not being able to stop it at all.
Not
right?
even a little
It's
bit.
The moment that he says, I am the mayor, and I order you, and that's the first time I think he really sort of sees it, that he just really doesn't have any power, and it's not within his control.
Yeah, he's not in charge at all.
Yeah.
That Slade
and that's what
is,
he wanted.
Is because he as he sort of goes on to say in this episode, he wanted to save the city.
Yeah.
He's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So, driving in the van.
They're heading towards the Mirakuruker.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Mirakuruker, the cure.
That's what I told you. It's the hardest. It's the time to serve today. It's good. Anyway, so Detective Lance talking on the phone with the vigilante, or with the Arrow, I guess we're going to stop calling him that. And getting the consent, right? This useful phone call to show that the city is on his side. That's a big step. So I think it it makes things important.
I think it didn't really play in as much of this episode as it will next episode.
Yeah.
Where we'll see really like the full on.
The vigilantes leading war, the police and stuff, and that'll be cool. I'm excited. Put that lamp store still intact in the background. Sorry.
Now I'm trying to place where they are.
Yeah. I feel like this is down in Cloverdale.
No, this is I'm fairly certain that this is the Watchmen set.
Oh, nice. Oh, it could be here.
Down on Marine Drive.
Nice.
I think it is, which got used they've used it in Supernatural quite a bit. They haven't used it lately. More than likely because Supernatural can't afford it anymore because they're in their ninth season or whatever it is. Right? Season 9?
Something atrocious. I think it's season like 9. That. Yeah. It's crazy. Long commercial breaks.
I don't understand everybody's disdain for current Supernatural. I think it's as good as it's been since season 6. Season 5 was the best it ever got. And then season 6 came back and it's maintained the same level since season 6.
It's okay. This is the longest commercial break, I think. This is crazy.
This is one of those super long commercial breaks. It's obnoxious how long some of the... was the really long one.
This is the one where the van tipped and everyone's like, what's going on? And now we're back with the guys approaching the van. And people are falling and the Feligal moment is coming up. Here. She's so cute.
Hashtag Feligal.
Hashtag Feligal. I'm just getting out of the van. I don't really know how to talk about this. It's basically just
it's a bit of a long scene for nothing to happen.
Yeah.
Felicity's knocked out. I guess that's the most important thing here.
Yeah.
And I do like this moment where they go out the windshield as these guys come to the back of the van and he shoots the explosive arrow there.
Yeah.
And, they open the door and it blows up. That was a pretty cool bit of blocking.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Rather than just shooting the people, so
yeah, they're totally on a set there. They're not.
Yeah,
they're not on the actual street.
When there's lots of fire and cars everywhere.
Yeah,
and Thea running away. So not what we maybe expected the first thing to do, or there was no showdown, and then we run away. This is the ability to have a dramatic scene without extras. Actually, I'll just point out like the ability to do this instead of having that really long shot where she first met him. She gets to run, and they don't have to have any background people because it's covered up by trains. And I really want to know where this is going. Right, most interesting thing, sort of, in not much happening. But also a lot happening.
I would count this as like the C storyline right now because the A storyline is Oliver and the Cure. The B storyline is Sebastian Blood.
Yeah.
Those two hook up by the end of the episode as one story.
Yeah.
But this one is definitely the C story that like.
Yeah.
It's connected because everything's happening at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's going in a completely different direction.
Yeah. It's fascinating, too. And I love John Barrowman. I just really...
I want him in every episode of this series.
Yeah.
I don't want him just guest starring next
He's
season.
Such an interesting presence that I really... Yeah. I just really like it, so...
I like this character. I like the depth that he brings to this villain. I have really enjoyed Manu Bennett as Slade, and I've especially enjoyed Roshev in the last few weeks as she sort of revealed herself as a villain. And I enjoyed her before that as well, but there's not as much depth as there is behind Malcolm. Like I feel like Slade is crazy and he's. A psychopath now, like,
but he doesn't have as much focus as Merlin did, right?
Like, but with Merlin, it's this really interesting. He's a bad guy, but not from his point of view.
Yeah, right. Whereas I think Slade definitely knows what he was. This idea that he just, we sort of...
Yeah, Slade's aware of what he's doing.
The
idea of,
like, watching the city burn like Nero, yeah. which is, I think, really interesting. And then this yeah. ship confrontation with blood here.
Well, this
blood
moment really right here, he says there are innocent people dying out there. Mm-hmm. You don't need to kill them. And he's like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Because this is just... This is all about making Oliver suffer.
Yeah.
Right? And so Slade is a very selfish, unhinged
yeah.
character.
Yeah.
Which is awesome yeah. and a really cool story, but it's not the same as Merlin.
And my favorite part of this scene is that really Rochev has said one thing. She said, "Who's Shadow?"
Yeah.
But her reactions to all of this that's happening is brilliant, because you're getting to send, I feel like we're getting at something that people yeah. are seeing who Slade really is.
Yeah.
And I think Rochev in really interesting
they all
ways
think
is
that
who
they
Slade
all
really
think
is.
That they're part of a plan.
Yeah.
But and, they're not. Like they're yeah. pawns in his
yeah.
game. So cuz Blood was there. He just wanted to be the mayor so that he
mm-hmm.
could save the city in his own twisted way.
Mm-hmm.
Rochev's there cuz she wants revenge on the Queen family. She wanted
Yeah.
She wants what she thinks is hers, which yeah. is Queen Consolidated, which she now has.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, the both of them have now gotten what they bargained for,
yeah.
but now they're getting the more that
yeah,
is so
yeah,
often
yeah.
spoken of,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I think you're right. They're both discovering that...
It's not what they...
Yeah,
yeah,
this isn't what they signed up for.
Yeah.
But I think the difference will be that Sebastian Blood... is like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Whereas Rochev will be like, I think we've already kind of seen her lean towards, okay, like in for a penny, in for a pound, right? Like, but, and we get this awesome scene between Laurel and Sarah.
Yeah, it's a good one. I really liked, because I often find some of the stuff that Katie Cassidy does that's really emotional to be somewhat problematic as a viewer, just because there's
yeah.
a lot of emotional levels. But this, I think, was such a beautiful scene between the two of them. And it could be just the fact that Laurel had to react a little bit more than perhaps
yeah.
Be the person that drives this scene. I just thought it was absolutely beautiful, and the connection between these two actresses, I think it really got at something that I think we haven't before. It's different than the scene, because in the scene where Laurel was about to drink, right, and Canary was there, they weren't sisters,
yeah.
but it was the only other sort of emotional moment we had between the two characters without Laurel maybe knowing that it was that connectivity.
Yeah.
And so this is the first real connective moment that we have between the two of them, and I think it's really genuine, and I really like it. And we get Sarah's name.
Yeah, the origin of the Canary, so...
Yeah.
She says here it means the canary, and then Laurel's going to echo that later. And we heard that earlier this season
yeah.
when Nyssa was on.
Yeah. Because
she referred to Sarah as her canary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not the first time that we're hearing this, but it is sort of, it's the first time that it's kind of being used as her name.
Yeah.
Not as like a pet name.
Right, yeah. So it's the thing that she's actually being called. And
yeah.
this idea that it's such a beautiful name, why would, if you were irredeemable? And that's the whole big
yeah.
thing I think about Sarah right now, is this idea of not being redeemable, that she's struggling with.
Which is troublesome and worrisome, because if she redeems herself before the end of this season, redeemed
die.
Characters sometimes die. But,
yeah, most often.
But it's also, I think it's also just setting her up for next season.
To be a hero, I think.
For being the Black
Canary. Yeah, because she
right.
wasn't going to. That's why
yeah.
she left, right? She
yeah.
said she couldn't be on the same playing field that Ollie could. But
yeah.
now we're setting up not only the city to accept both of them, but both of them to accept themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to make for amazing television.
Yeah.
And just a really new evolution of the show, which I'm really looking forward to.
Well, I think what we're going to see is the tonal shift that we saw in the Flash episodes of the mid-season finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those two episodes. There was a definite difference in tone for
mm-hmm.
those episodes. Much more lighthearted, much more superhero-y.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it still retains some of like the edge that Arrow has.
Mm-hmm.
With Flash airing as well, and with them being a shared universe, I think Arrow's going to have to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Be a little bit more. In order to sort of stay there. I don't think it's going
to... Also...
It's not going to be as light as the Flash.
No, but it lends itself to crossover in a way that this does not. Yeah. Right? Next season would lend itself to crossover in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Talked over, Sarah is going to stay with Ollie on the boat to find Slade.
Yeah.
And now we're here that Sarah and Laurel are going to get... Detective Lance is going to go find them.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is a big street downtown, I think. This is a... Is that the overpass? That's a drug
overpass.
That's
the viaduct,
yeah. Wow, that's a...
Big, right at Main Street.
Yeah, there. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dude at Star Labs, he says, I can see your feet. And then...
Those are not their feet.
That is not who it is. Very dangerous and scary that he's being kidnapped by someone else. Look at that flaming car on the bridge. And there's the... This is the street, if everybody knows, that all of the bad guys were walking down before. Yeah. Because it's got the...
Not so much kidnapped as killed and having the cure stolen.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. So the cure is gone. And now what do they do? Pan out on this moment and see the sign for Main Street. Women on TV, they didn't name her. I want them to name the reporter.
The reporter does have a name, actually. I don't know. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but she does have a name. Because she's credited in every episode that she's in as that character.
Good. Anyway, so the dude bringing the cure back, and we see blood here being the focal point of this realization that he knows that Slade has what he needs and what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And commercials.
More commercials. This is one of those short commercial breaks, though. Oh, no, this is the one that's just the trailer for Edge of Tomorrow.
That's all it is for this trailer?
Yeah, this whole commercial break is just one trailer.
Wow. Crazy.
Sorry, people don't like it when we talk about the commercials.
Sorry.
But we don't have anything else to talk
it's
about.
Part of our
yeah.
viewing experience as audience members.
We used to ignore them, and then people ask that we let them know when commercials are happening.
So we can watch back, along with the show.
Back at the watch... clock tower, not watch
not
tower.
Not watch tower,
clock tower.
I like the set. I really hope they use it a lot next year. Or that they use it in some capacity still in the future. Someone was saying that it would be cool if Felicity started to become more like Oracle... And being in the clock tower.
Yeah. They're not in the right city.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey happens in Gotham. Yeah. But not that it couldn't, but...
Yeah. So this moment between Felicity and Ollie, which is really interesting. She sort of waits until Diggle leaves to sort of break down, and which is interesting.
Bethany Snow, I think, is the reporter's
name. The name of the
reporter. Carrie Adams. I believe that's who that is. I'm not 100% sure. But,
cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, the idea of dealing with the Undertaking, that this is really similar to what happened last year. A lot of parallels.
Yes.
Almost exactly the same. I have failed the city. Is this the first time that he said about himself?
I think it might be. I think last season maybe Merlin said it to him.
You know what's an interesting thing, though? Because that could be the end of that you have failed the city mentality by realizing that if he has failed the city, maybe it's not about people failing the city, but just about sort of doing what you do, which is interesting. So the idea of hurting the city... stopping that hurt, right? It's not necessarily about failing the city, because even if you can fail the city. So anyways, this is sort of a good peppy talk moment. I appreciate it the second time around, because I'm not worried about them throwing Felicity shits at us or anything. So.
This is what Felicity is there for, right? Yeah. Like, she's really... I think what they've done is they've written her to be that side of Oliver Queen, because he doesn't have that yet, right?
Right.
And he'll get there eventually, and then he'll be sort of that fully realized comic book version of Oliver Queen, who's everything that this Oliver Queen is, but then, I don't know, much more on the positive side of things.
Yeah.
Because he's still very negatively focused, but...
So it's good. This is, you know what, you're probably right. This is probably filmed on the same set, hey? Because this has got to be a set that's... That's burning, right? That has to be done on a set, so. Very exciting. Yeah, this is big budget stuff, man. The amount of fire in this episode, That just takes an intense amount of people to be dealing with pyrotechnics. And so, little kid, I love Delta Charlie 52 to Central. That's who he is. DC 52.
Yeah.
He's, like, the most important character.
he's the whole DC the whole continuity DC universe. Of the universe. The multiverse.
Yeah, multiverse. Anyways, they both see... Look at the pride on his face. Man, Paul Blackthorne is such a good actor. Anyways, with the kid coming out, her saving the little kid in the fire.
Yeah.
Being her big heroic moment. I really... It's her being...
And that's this moment coming up here. Because Sarah takes off. She disappears in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And the mother goes, "Who was that?" And Laurel gets to
name her. Yeah,
have that moment.
That's the canary, and then people will start talking about her. Oh, yeah. I love it. It's such a good... It was a fantastic moment. And then more Merlin shooting the dude and it not making any difference. I totally thought Merlin was going to... I don't know, he looks like he wasn't doing well in this fight.
I think he's a little outgunned, but he's not outclassed. That's the distinction here. Because the guy goes, "You're out of arrows." And I love this. He goes, "You're not." And he grabs it and then jams it in the back of his neck right into his spinal column.
Oh.
Which is just perfect.
Brutal. And then we have... so I didn't know what was going to happen here, what Thea's role in that whole moment was. They're splicing that in really drawing it out. It's an interesting moment. And then Blood here calling Oliver, trying to figure out what's going on here. They're spending a lot of time in this clock tower. I feel like he should be out helping more people right now, because he's dealing with his own stuff.
Yeah, I think they were trying to regroup there for a second.
Yeah. Where did they send Diggle again? I completely forgot. Oh, to go get Roy.
Right. Yeah.
I forgot. Anyways, so the Mirakuru cure is now in the possession of Blood.
Of Sebastian Blood.
Blood, and they have ways to deal with it.
Oh, more commercials.
So, what's happening?
Yeah.
Now, we still got 20 minutes left in the episode. Wow. There's a lot that happens in this episode.
It's a very dense episode. It's thick. It's a thick episode. It's because we've got three storylines going on, which I think is a little bit more than normal. Usually we've got two stories.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I'm fast-forwarding through the actual episode.
That's probably what it is. But it's good. There's so much happening.
Yeah.
And here we've got Roy back to be used as a guinea pig, I guess. They've got 2 hours to get 2 hours of venom left, right, for Roy, with Roy. And they're down to do some more. Oh, she called him John? Whoa. Does she usually call him John?
Who, Diggle?
Yeah.
Yes, she has recently.
Oh, interesting.
Because Oliver calls him Dig most of the time, right?
Yeah.
She's
been calling him John? This is the first time I really noticed her call him John. Anyways, I just thought it was a nice
when she, as far as I've noticed, when she's talking directly to him, she calls him John.
Oh, okay.
Right? But if she's referring to him, she says Diggle.
Oh, interesting.
But...
it's cool. It's nice. It's a familiarity that I really like.
And just to head this off at the pass, her calling him John is not them trying to move him into being revealed as John Stewart. He is not John Stewart. He is John Diggle. It's not a middle name. It's his last name. Because his brother... back in season one, and earlier this season when he was referenced, is named Andy Diggle. After the author, the writer of Year One, Green Arrow Year One, Andy Diggle. So, just put that to rest. He's not the Green Lantern. If the Green Lantern shows up on this show, it'll be Hal Jordan. Because Hal Jordan and Oliver Queen have one of the greatest friendships in comics history.
Yeah.
Much like Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. So. That's good.
And so we sort of talked over that they've gone here to go get the cure from Blood.
Yes.
So there's just sort of a lot of conversation stuff happening that's redeeming Blood in a few ways.
Well, Blood thinks that this redeems him. Like, messed up Blood is. Like, he thinks that just by doing this one thing that he's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is the important information that he just gives to Ollie here. Whoever you love most has to die.
Yeah.
That there's one person. One
so I said when we were watching this that to me sounds like Oliver will be given a choice between Sarah or Laurel. Mm-hmm. Right? Like about which one he loves more.
Yeah.
And whoever he chooses is the one that Slade's going to kill.
Yeah.
Right?
So
I think it'll almost be a fake out where it's like, where he'll be like, choose, and Oliver won't choose, and then at the last second, like, something will decide that it's
so-and-so, or
that it's Sarah, and so he'll kill Sarah, and Laurel will be left. But I really hope not, because I really hope that Sarah lives, but there's also the possibility that Isabel Rochev will
step in there,
Slade in the back of the throat.
We'll figure out
right before he kills
figure
anybody.
Figure out what
else.
It is.
Yeah.
Who
knows how next week's gonna end?
It's so much to go on, and I just don't even.
Maybe Ra's al Ghul will show up and
destroy everything.
Yeah.
So sorry, they're here talking about. Again, giving it to a female cop, lines, random lines, I would kind of like that.
Yeah.
About the woman they're calling a hero that saved the canary, or saved the little boy in a burning building.
Yeah.
And Sarah getting a little moment of pride there. I think that's the last time we sort of see her in this episode, eh?
Sebastian Blood has to pay the piper now, with Ravager showing up to find out if he's still got the cure.
Mm-hmm. That costume's so much better without the mask. But she looks
really
cool.
Oh, so much better.
I really like it.
It's such a great... One of my favorite parts is the chest piece, because you can tell that there's armor underneath it, but it looks like there's leather over top.
Yeah.
But it's not... it's not boob plate armor, the last few years, it's become like a thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, armorers and people who actually still make armor these days...
Yeah.
Have pointed out that would actually be the most dangerous thing, because essentially you'd be
stabbing towards
another,
the heart.
Yeah,
yeah.
You'd be adding another blade to point at a human being's chest.
Yeah.
So really what you would get, like, female armor should look really not that much different from a man's armor, right?
Yeah.
And this show's got it down. Game of Thrones has it down, because Brienne's armor is perfect, spot on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where, like, you can still tell that they're women. There's still something feminine about it, but the boob plate. That's what it's called in comics when it's boob plate. The other thing is the boob sock armor, which is when it's like the metal circles.
Oh.
There's a few characters in Marvel comics who have that.
That's
that
crazy.
It's like, so it's nice to see them get away from those comic book tropes.
Yeah, and she, accomplished her mission. She killed...
She killed Blood.
Killed Blood. He's all dead. I was sad there wasn't more blood during Blood's death. That was one thing I was expecting.
you thought that
he would bleed out a little bit more
than
he did. Because
his name's Blood.
Because his name's
Blood.
I thought it would be poetic.
Knows.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe. It was maybe messy. Too much, had to put the resources other places.
Yeah.
We talked about the best line of the whole episode is Felicity talking about the color of the
shirt. Why do these formulas always have to be colors? Whatever happened to good old-fashioned clear?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
So good. She definitely gets the best one-liners in the show.
It's so good because after 10 years of Smallville and every single anything on that glowing green, it's all kryptonite-based.
Yeah.
And then in this series, it's like...
They pointed out, like, right away, so it's good.
It's good. Like, you can poke fun at it, and then we'll allow it, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're very self-referential. I like it. Anyways,
I wonder if that was a script thing, or if that was, like, an on-set... Like, not necessarily an improv, but, like...
But just...
Like, somebody said it on set, and then it was like, we should put that in the episode.
Yeah. Ollie looking very serious here. So the confrontation with Slade we're going to see next week. So they're leaving us with that.
On the island.
On
the
island. And then back... I lied. We're still back. We're coming back to the precinct. And then I don't know why. What is it? Oh,
the Argus
coming in.
Troops, setting up a perimeter around. Essentially cutting off all of the bridges and highways in and out of the city.
Yeah.
And at first they're saying, like, oh, well, this is the army.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but the the army is too far away, like military is too far away in order to mobilize this quickly.
Yeah.
And you called it immediately. You got it right away. You were like, oh, this is Amanda Waller.
Yeah, yeah.
Suicide Squad, right? Yeah. So I don't know that Suicide Squad's not going to necessarily have anything to do with it.
No, but definitely.
But it is Argus, yeah. Right? So.
Which is good. It alerts Ollie because it's the thing. I didn't know what was going on with this, right? I sort of was like, why is he not going to give the cure to Roy? It seemed like an odd pause moment, but it's just because he needed that facilitator, which is interesting that he was given.
It's a good moment, I think, because he's about to do it, mm-hmm. and he says, I'm sorry, and he's about to inject it, and at the last second he decides not to.
Yeah.
He can't because of the risk to Roy.
Yeah.
But then... this phone call in a second, or the situation in a second, is going to force his hand, and he decides.
It's sort of to interesting. I just realized in the close up when he puts the needle down that it's not about the needle; it's about his hand, which is interesting because usually when they use close ups, it's about the object that they're. But it's about his act of putting it down, which I think is interesting. Anyway, so they've been called by the detectives to turn on the television.
I'd really like to be able to watch TV on my surface. I don't think you can actually do that.
Yeah, it seems. Seemed a little out of the ordinary. She's got a spectacular surface there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's probably, like, specialized it or something.
I don't know. Got the gigabytes. It's acting like a phone in many ways, I guess. Anyways, he immediately calls Waller. Knows exactly what's happening here.
I love she's like, how did you get this number?
Yeah.
Because he's Oliver Queen and he just does whatever he wants.
Yeah. So, here, basically, the plot of every big government-based movie ever. So we're going to blow up Manhattan to get rid of all of these
They have to stop the Mirakura army from getting out of the city. And according to Amanda Waller, the only way to do that is to blow up the whole city. They're going to level the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is a little extreme, and I don't know how you justify that to... The rest of the world, the next day.
It just seems as though it would have to have a huge cover-up of some kind. I feel like she should be jumping all over this opportunity to have another way to deal with stuff, right?
Yeah, I haven't, hidden the fact that I'm not a fan of this character.
Yeah.
Until
dawn, and then...
I don't like the way that they've written her, and I don't like the way they she's playing the character, because to me Amanda Waller, like the way that performance came across is that she was very like trying to keep it in a hushed tone and talking in like almost this very desperate fashion.
Yeah.
And to me Amanda Waller in the comics, regardless of anything else, is an incredibly strong person, personality. So the rest of the people in that room are under her command. Yeah. She would be shouting at the top of her lungs with, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. You can't tell me what to do, Oliver Queen.
This is really... So the last scene that they've saved for this particular episode is here, the Ed Merlin scene. And him trying to get at her from an emotional place, which is really interesting because this is the thing that Thea's been, I think, wanting or grasping for, right, is the idea of somebody... I don't know, to tell her the truth or to connect with, because I think she feels really lost, which is really interesting. All the cards.
I like that he glosses over Oliver. Yeah. Like he never mentions Oliver in this.
No,
but there you go. There's
and then
that blam blam.
She shot him, and I just
two shots.
I can't. To the chest. I don't even. I think we both went what?
Yeah, two shots and a thud.
Yeah,
it literally said thud in the closed captions.
Yeah.
So. It very interesting way to end an episode.
Yeah.
And definitely, I believe that's probably the biggest cliffhanger
that we've ever
that
heard.
We've gotten on the show so far. Because that's literally the scene did not end. She fired the gun and we don't know what happened.
Yeah, she could have hit a dude behind him. That's the cop-out, is that there was a guy coming behind him and she shot it. But the more interesting thing is shooting him. I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah, and him getting up afterwards.
Yeah, him getting up because he's like, I can't die anymore. Anyways.
Something.
Oh, like a lot of things.
But yeah.
So interesting.
We're gonna watch the preview for next week now. So if anybody doesn't want to be spoiled for the season finale, jump out now.
And good luck with that.
Yeah. So basically, next Wednesday, we've got like the... the army of good guys versus the army of bad guys.
Yeah.
So it looks like the League of Assassins
is there.
Are showing up to yeah. back up Oliver.
Yeah. And I swear that that part where he was shoving that arrow, whoever was using that arrow motion, I'm pretty sure that was the, that's the boat there.
Okay, we're just going to play it again.
One more time.
Yeah.
To double check these, look at these cinematic moments. I think it's going to look really beautiful
next
week.
That's all the city. That's all the city.
Yeah.
That's the city.
Yeah.
City.
It's all city stuff. And that.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's definitely.
Yeah, the cage things are the same set on the boat. So I feel
I think that's arrow through the eye.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. It's arrow through the eye is what I thought is happening there. But definitely, I mean, we need the showdown with Slade because we don't have that. The thing I did not see for next week is Thea stuff.
Yeah.
And Thea and Merlin.
No, because they don't want to show us because.
That's.
Yeah.
A big because
that's the cliffhanger. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out next week. Thea going away with Merlin to become Speedy or Arrowette, maybe. Yeah. There's lots of different names that they could give her for her to come back as perhaps a villain, perhaps an ally, perhaps a little bit of both. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So many loose ends that have to be tied up, and only 44 minutes to do it in, so
lots of more loose ends I'm sure they're going to give us, which is interesting. So
there'll definitely be stuff set up for next season, but I think that does it for us this week. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find us, our home on the internet, www.quiverpodcast.com. You can shoot us an email. Let us know what you thought about this episode or next episode. mail@quiverpodcast.com. We'll be figuring out what we're going to do
for the season finale. Let's put a poll on the... we'll probably put a poll on the Facebook group and see what people would be interested in seeing for the season finale. Because I think it would be cool to stream something of some kind and have just... Or even just live tweet art when we're going through and interact with you guys in new ways.
So facebook.com/quiverpodcast is where you can find our Facebook page, and there's a link right there on the right hand side to the group, at Quiver Podcast, that's our Twitter.
Yeah,
so that's
you can also follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at @akonkin, @akonkin,
and I'm at @arkwulf, @arkwulf,
and
I think that's it. So
that's
thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week for the season finale, Season 2 of Arrow.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast for the 22nd episode of season 2. Streets of Fire.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And that was a weird introduction.
Was it a weird introduction?
I'm going to try it one more time.
You want to do it again?
Yeah. So close.
But it's going to, that's going to be the tag. You know, like, because people have been complaining that they're too long. I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like,
stop listening. It's not part of the
podcast. You are in control. But whatever. Some people have, like, that OCD thing that once they start something, they have to finish it. So
they'll just listen to us talking about
like
nothing.
I can understand that to a certain degree. But at the same time, if you don't want to listen to us talk about absolutely nothing, then that's why there is a full minute of music and then 3 seconds of silence.
Yeah.
Like, I give you lots of opportunities to get off the bus. The bus? The bus.
Yeah.
But, anyways, go ahead.